Good morning. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. Glad that you are here. Glad that you are worshiping with us. I want to greet our live stream audience as well. If you're at home, it's okay. No shame. But as soon as you feel comfortable, come be with us. Yes? Yes. We're glad that you're here. You ready to worship? All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite your Holy Spirit. We just pray, God, that you would surprise us. We may have come for all sorts of reasons, with all sorts of expectations, but surprise us with who you are and how you love us. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. May your Spirit be with us. May our hearts please you, our thoughts please you, and our praises please you. We pray it in the name of Jesus. If you'll stand as we worship. Amen.
You are good. You are good. You're good. singers in the room? We have any dancers in the room? I got a few of those. You got any shouters in the room? Hey, let's shout. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise this morning? All right, let's do that on three. One, two, three, shout. Let me get to the next song. When we all get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing that will be.
If you'll come forward and meet Miss Carlene for the children's sermon.
Oh. Oh, watch out. Watch out. Hey, guys. Hey, there are you. You want to sit over here by me? Are you good? All right. Good to see you. Hey. What? Come on out here, Ollie. You are very fast over here. You are very fast. I know you did. How's everybody doing today? Good. Everybody good? All right. So, what is tomorrow? Good times? Valentine's. It's going to be a good time tomorrow, right? Are you having a Valentine party? You've made Valentine's. That's right. Yeah,
that's how people can get happy.
You think they can get happy? Okay, very good. So Valentine's Day is that when we send cards and maybe flowers and candy to our friends, and you make hearts, that's right, and we tell our friends and our loved ones that we love them. Is Valentine's Day the only day that we say we love you? No, we can say it all the time, right? Yeah. So have you gotten Valentine's? Any of y'all gotten Valentine's from anybody? Or at school, Miss Claire, I know, did the other day, didn't you? Yeah?
Can you say something?
Yes. Yes, Ollie. You're funny. I know. You're sweet. Yes?
So, sometimes my brother gives me Valentine's.
Okay.
And he makes hearts. Okay. And I keep crying.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, that's very sweet that your brother does that. So,
yeah. And I keep crying.
Okay. All right. You can tell me in just a minute, okay, Ollie? So, I brought several Valentines with me today. You can get Valentine's candy in a heart-shaped box, right? Yes. Okay. How about giving flowers? This is actually chocolate, Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
And a rose.
It's a rose, yes. Okay. And then, how about these kind of Valentines? Do you ever give, like, a little stuffed animal? Yeah. You like that? Yes. And then, how about cards? Do you like to get cards? So. Your grandpa gave you a card? Yeah,
my
so.
Grandma, Elise, she always gives me
Okay. Really? Okay. So I've got a card here, and this one kind of looks like for a boy, right? Maybe. Hey, girl, guys, how are y'all? Good to see y'all. And then here's this one's got a little ladybug, love bug on it, right? And then this one's just really pretty. And then this one's very pretty, too, right? They have hearts on them, right? Do most Valentine cards have hearts on them? And all Valentine cards say, because you are loved. Maybe this one says, this cute little hug bug is coming your way to bring lots of love, right? Is that what Valentine's is about? It's about love, right? Yeah. So it's always great and fun and exciting to get these kind of Valentines, right? But do you know, I've got a very special Valentine that I've gotten before, and I think that I've gotten, and I think y'all have received one too. Have y'all ever received a Valentine like this? Does that look like a Valentine? It does? Okay. Well, it's not in the shape of a heart, but it represents God's great love for us. This is the greatest Valentine that we could ever get. Does God love us so much that he sent his son Jesus for us? He did. That's right. And it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loves us so much that he died on the cross for us. Do you think that's a wonderful Valentine's? Do you think that's the greatest Valentine's, that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus for us? Yeah, that is, isn't it? So can this be a great, can this be the best Valentine ever? Should this be the best Valentine ever? Yes, it can. So do you think Jesus wants a Valentine from you? Can you send Jesus a card?
Yes.
Huh?
You can pray.
That's right. Do you think Jesus wants a little stuffed animal?
Yes.
You think so? I don't know if you could get it to him, right? How about flowers? You think he might want flowers?
Yeah.
Or chocolate? Yeah. But we can't give Jesus anything. We can't give him anything like these kind of things, the cards, the animals. But you know what we can give him? We can give him our life. And give our heart to him and tell him that we love him all the time. That can be our Valentine to Jesus. So do you want to say, I love you to Jesus? Have you ever just said, I love you, Jesus?
Yeah.
Huh? Have you ever said, I love you, Jesus? Can y'all say that with me? Say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Did you know you just gave a Valentine to Jesus?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? So we don't have to just give these kind of things. We can just give somebody. We give Jesus, we can tell people that we love them, we tell them that Jesus loves them, and we are sharing God's love with everyone. And that is the best Valentine's of all times, isn't it? All right, well, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, and that's the greatest Valentine for us, Lord, that love is great and big, and that you loved us so much that you did send Jesus for each one of us. Thank you for all these boys and girls that are here today, and bless the families, and bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go.
Well, good morning again. One of the most awesome ministries that I know of is Gideon's International, and every year we allow the Gideons to come in and make a presentation. You guys have been so faithful to the Gideons over the years, and we have several Gideons in our church. Richard Arthur is one of them, and Richard has some things to share with us this morning.
I Thank you, Jeff. Jeff said, I'm Richard Arthur, probably better known at Wiley Methodist as Kitten's husband or Coach Arthur's dad. But I wanted to introduce y'all to a lady by the name of Mary Kay Beard this morning and let y'all experience her story. So, Lee, if you'll go ahead and start that video.
I found myself in the Jefferson County Jail in downtown Birmingham, Alabama. There was a Bible there. I'd seen Bibles just like them in motel rooms everywhere I'd stayed. So one day alone in my cell, I picked up that Bible that I had shoved under the mattress. I just opened it up and kind of wandered through it and flipped a few pages of it. But as I did, my eyes were drawn to just two verses in the book of Ezekiel. A new heart also I'll give you. I will take that stony heart out of your flesh when you're facing the rest of your life behind bars. There's nothing to lose. And so very quietly one night I knelt on that concrete floor in that little 5x8 jail cell and I surrendered. And I knew in that moment, for the very first time, I knew that God had saved me. I was just blessed to be the person God used to start Angel Tree Ministries, because it's God. It's all about God.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that that sweet little lady was a criminal. But I'm going to play to Paul Harvey and tell you the rest of the story here in a condensed version. Born in Alabama to an alcoholic and abusive dad and a godly mother that drugged her to church. Drugged her to church every time the doors were open. Mary Kay knew the Lord very well early in life. She worked to be the best she could be at whatever she did. She graduated from high school at age 15 and in nursing school at age 18. At the top of her class in both. To get away from her dad, she made the mistake of her life, married a man she had only known 9 days. Come to find out, he was a criminal, and she became one too. Robbing banks and cracking safes was their specialties, and Mary Kay became a faithful student to her husband. The marriage didn't last long, and neither did her career as a criminal. It did last long enough for her to make the FBI's most wanted list, and the mafia had to have a contract on her head for double-crossing them in a diamond heist. Arrested and jailed, she found the Gideon Bible and Ezekiel 36:26, and her spiritual reawakening began. In prison, she joined a prison Bible study that was led by a Gideon couple, and her life began to improve. She only served 7 years of her 21-year sentence due to legal issues and being the model inmate she was called to be. During that time, she saw a need for children of inmates. They received no gifts from their incarcerated parents at Christmas, other than maybe a toothbrush or toothpaste. Mary Kay said she felt like the children were being punished for the crime their parent had committed. So upon her release, she joined Prison Fellowship Ministries and founded Angel Tree Ministry. It started in two malls in Alabama and has now become an international ministry that provides children of inmates hundreds of thousands of gifts yearly. And Mary Kay was a frequent speaker at Gideon events as a testimony speaker for her passing in 2016. But her Angel Tree Ministry lives on, and she was right. It was God. It was all God. Gideons have been searching for lost souls and giving the world for free Bibles for 114 years, since 1908. The Gideons have given away more than 2.7 billion Bibles at a rate of 2 Bibles per second. We print Bibles in 109 languages, and we currently serve in 200 countries, territories, and possessions. And 186 of those places can't pay for their Bible distribution needs. That includes Russia, China, many of the Middle Eastern countries, and most of Africa, just to mention a few. And those Bibles are provided by Gideons from the 14 other countries and churches like Wiley Methodist. Jesus' last instructions to his disciples before his going to heaven, resurrection, was to go and make disciples of all nations. And Gideon's willingly accept that challenge. We are best known for placing Bibles in motel rooms, but we also place them in prisons, in jails and hospitals, nursing homes, schools, and cruise ships and trains. We also give them to our firefighters, police, military, and our auxiliary members assist us in placing Bibles in nursing homes and medical facilities and in scripture blitzes and in some college graduations. Gideons have placed Bibles where books didn't exist, and we are also strong supporters of our cause. Last year at the Texas State Convention, our Texas Gideons and Auxiliary raised and provided $360,000 to send 288,000 testaments to the Nigeria Scripture Blitz, and where it was said that we provided the word of God in opposition to the bullets of Islam, as Boko Haram has a strong presence in Nigeria. And our biggest focus of Gideon's is always the children. Schools have become more difficult to enter, so fairs have become our next best option. At the 2021 Texas State Fair and the West Texas State Fair, we gave over 2,000 testaments to targeted fifth grade students and above, and we also gave away an endless number of our Bible app cards. And last year at the Wiley Methodist Trunk or Treat, we also gave 200 testaments to that targeted fifth grade group through high school. And we have given thousands of testaments to colleges here in Abilene, to ACU, to McMurray, and to Cisco Junior College. And to reach those in prison, we deliver cases of testaments to the French Robertson Unit. And we currently have three Gideons in jail and prison ministries. And Tom Blong, who comes to our church, is one of those men. He was here in the earlier service. So you may ask what you can do for the Gideon ministry. We Gideons covet your prayers, especially for the growth of our ministry. I'm one of the young guys, and we're kind of like all the service organizations. We're hurting for members, so we would love to have new members. But I would like to thank you in advance for any offering you might send our way. Our only request that your tithe or offering to Wiley Methodist Church remain your priority. And I would like to say that 100% of your offering goes to printing, shipping, and distribution of Bibles. And one thing you may consider, too, we have Gideon displays where we have cards on each end of the foyer. You can send a card to a person in memory or other things to commemorate them. And $5 will put a Bible in a motel anywhere around the world, and $1.25 will put a little testament in someone's hand. And men like the Marines, us Gideons are always looking for a few good men. And the good thing about us, your wives can come with you, and you don't have to leave town unless you want to. If you're a business leader and interested in joining our organization, we would truly love to have you. Several thank yous I would like to offer before I close. First of all, to Corey Wood for giving us a place to put our Bible storage buildings for about the last 5 years. That is a true blessing and a savings to our ministry. To Jeff for allowing me to speak today and being such a strong supporter of Gideon's. And we don't get that everywhere from all churches. So Jeff has supported us more than just presentations. It is a true blessing. We thank you for that. I'd like to thank the audiovisual crew for running my little video today, to Arliss, Dennis, and Lee. And thanks to each of you for lending me your ear to tell you about a ministry that's been doing the Lord's work since 1899. Thank you.
As told the early service, it breaks my heart that the Gideons are not welcomed into every church and that every pastor is not behind this, because, I mean, to distribute God's word, I mean, that's a good ministry. That's a strong ministry, and we appreciate what you guys do very much. I want to pray over Richard and over, we have several Gideons in our church, and I want to pray for that ministry. So if you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for just the gift of your word. Father, it's a living and breathing word, and it has life in it. Father, I thank you for Richard and for all the Gideons in our city, but also throughout the world, God, that have a passion to put your word in people's hands. I pray, God, financial blessings on them. I pray that you would bring the servants to them. And Father, I pray that your word says that your word does not go out void, but I pray for fruitfulness as each one of these testaments are placed in people's hands and placed in rooms. Lord, I thank you for the lives that have been changed through your word and through the faithful ministry of the Gideon's International. God, we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you. Oh,
couple of things. I forgot to mention that if you want to give an offering this morning, that we have our plates up front, and also you can give online. If you want to give to the Gideons, what I would recommend is you make a check or an online gift to Wiley Methodist Church and mark it Gideons, and we will write them a single check that comes from our church and present that to them as well. So I wanted to say that. I meant to say that earlier, and I forgot, so I apologize. Brad, is Brody here today? Is he out, is he signing autographs somewhere? Is he maybe? Y'all may not have heard this, but we have Abilene's Idol winner in our church, Brody Paris. Did he take after you, Brad? Is that the okay? That's a big deal. That's really awesome. Congratulations to Brody and to the Paris family for that. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Who knew that God had a coffee company? Oh, yeah. It's no funnier with the pa-dum-pum, with the drum roll, Lee. I'm sorry. If you are, I'm getting everything out of order today. I apologize. We got Cody, by the way, is at a track meet on his way home from Kansas. Is that right? And we knew when Cody came on board with us, we knew that there'd be three or four times during the spring that he would be having some national track meets and would be out, and then the rest of the year should be much more consistent. So pray for safe travels for Cody. And if you are our guest this morning, I certainly don't want to skip over you and neglect you, because we're glad that you're here. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guests, and would love for you to fill that out. And I would love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be down this end of the foyer and have a free gift for you. And it's also close to the donuts and coffee, so that's a good place to come and meet. So would love to meet you. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read one verse today, but it's got a lot for us in this one verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us, speaking of us, Christians, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you, and we know that you're with us. We ask you now to speak the only way you speak, in power and authority, and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple of disclaimers as I enter into a new sermon series. Let me go ahead and tell you the series. The sermon series is Hope When Life Hurts. Hope When Life Hurts. Anybody ever felt like life hurt a little bit? Hope When Life Hurts. Today's message is Hope for Loss and Grief. So my disclaimers are this. First of all, the message today, I found myself as I was developing this message that it sounded very similar to what I present many times at a funeral. It's always a little, funerals are a little different depending on the family and what they request and so forth. But when we come to the end of this life, the only hope we have is Jesus. I mean, you know, and we're going to talk more about that in a moment. So if you've been to any of my funerals, you're going to say, I've heard that before. I've heard that before, and that's okay. And then secondly, the other disclaimer is, as I was praying and I was seeking direction for where to go next, and I've been doing that for several weeks as I finished up my Standing on the Promises series, I had a couple, two or three other things that I was probably going to, thinking I was going to head towards, and the Lord just kept telling me, people need hope. We need hope. Now, I preached a similar series a little over 2 years ago, right before COVID hit, not knowing that COVID was coming upon us. But I feel like that, and Billy touched on it last week in his prayer time, that you look at numbers and you just look at life in general, and our culture, people are struggling. People are depressed. People are, we've had suicide seems to be really running rampant in our community and beyond, and we just need hope. And so we're going to talk more about that today and for the next few weeks. I mentioned this gentleman, again, a little over 2 years ago. You may or may not remember his name, Nabil Qureshi. Now, Nabil was a very dedicated Muslim. Now, he grew up, and this is kind of his testimony. You can YouTube him and hear more of his personal testimony, but his family, they belong to this a Muslim group that was not violent, and their whole deal was love. But they were, his goal in life was to convert people to his faith. I mean, that's what Nabil, that's what he wanted to do. And he was growing up in America, and he found himself, he was very dedicated to the Muslim faith. He found himself in college, and wouldn't you know, God is always up to something. He ends up with a very dedicated Christian college roommate, dorm roommate. And you would think that might create some fireworks, but here's what it created. It created friendship. These two became fast friends, and they began, each of them had the intent to basically lead the other one to their faith. But they were friends. And so they began this journey, a couple of years, this journey of talking to each other and asking and answering each other's questions. And lo and behold, I'm making a long story shorter, Nabil accepted Christ. It was a long journey, but he through lots of dialogue and asking lots of questions, he accepted Christ. His mom and dad, however, in which he loved dearly, his mom and dad, and I've watched videos of his dad, and his dad seems like a really nice man, and he knew that him converting to be a Christian was going to break his mom and dad's heart. And he basically said, I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm all in. I love you. I'm seeking you as my Lord and Savior. And he said, but I'm just grieving. I'm just hurting because I know what this is going to do to mom and dad. And he didn't want to hurt his mom and dad. And so he's needing comforted. He's needing this hope for this grief that he had. And he said, out of instinct and out of his upbringing, he said, I went to the Quran. And I began to, and he said, I knew the Quran very well. And he said, I began to explore and try to find some comfort in the Quran. And he said, it wasn't there. He said, not one verse in the Quran met him where he was at, needing comfort for the grief he was feeling, not wanting to hurt and disappoint his parents. So, being a new Christian, he opens the Bible. And it begins in Matthew, and I began to just kind of read, and he said, I found myself pretty quickly in Matthew 5, and here's what he came across. Matthew 5, verse 4. Jesus said these words, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And he said he felt the peace of the Holy Spirit just permeate his being. What he knew was not available in this other faith that he grew up with, he knew he had in Christ. This peace that passes understanding. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. So we're going to spend a few weeks talking about hope in today's message. We can have hope. I'm going to jump right in here. We can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus promised. Did you know that this passage that we read today, let us hold unswervingly, I love that word, unswervingly to the hope we profess. So if we are professing hope, then it goes on to say, for he who promised, and I'm ad-libbing a little bit, for he who promised the hope is faithful. Jesus promised hope, and he's faithful. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So what he's saying is, this world is pretty rough. Yes? Jesus never said, hey, come follow me and life is going to be easy. No, this world is tough. Things happen. There's death and there's illness and there's financial struggles and there's relational issues and people don't like you and people say bad things about you that aren't true and sometimes you don't have enough to eat and on and on and on. Jesus is saying, yes, this world, you're going to have trouble, but I'm bigger than all those things. I've overcome all those things and I've promised hope to you. And he who promised is faithful. We use hope so flippantly. You know, I hope that these people like me. I hope that that dinner turns out well. I hope that I win the lottery. I hope that I don't catch coronavirus. I hope, and we have all of these things that I hope this and I hope that, but we're not talking about the hope of a Christian is not this whimsical, fanciful hope, but it's a hope founded on the steadfast faithfulness of a loving Savior that died for you. And Carlene, what a great illustration. Is there anything more loving than the cross of Jesus Christ? Is there anything in all creation that communicates love more than the cross? So we can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus promised. Secondly, we can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus walks and grieves with us. You'll have to excuse me. I'm still wrestling with a cough, but I'm not unclean. So I was just telling you. So I may be unclean in other ways, but that's another sermon. So again, if you've been to any funeral that I have conducted, some of this is stuff that I try to share with families because when we come to that moment in life, that's Jesus is all we got. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But so this is one of the scriptures that I use quite often in 1 Thessalonians. And Paul is talking to the church there in Thessalonica, and they're talking about this whole idea of resurrection and what happens when you die and so forth. And listen to what he says. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now, I will stop there for just a second. So grief, there's grief, and there's grief with no hope. And I'm just telling you, I've seen it both ways. And grief with no hope is a terrible thing. Grief with no hope is a terrible thing. So he's saying, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about those who've died, to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe, and he's speaking of Christians, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. You see, when you have faith in Christ, hope, grief has hope attached to it. And I say this all the time, but hope has a name for the Christian. His name is Jesus. It's everything. It's everything. I don't know. I know we've had the loss through suicide of Devin. We'll be doing that service on Saturday. And
had another person in our church who had a friend committed suicide in Austin, a good friend of many of us in the church. His son committed suicide last week in the Metroplex in his 30s. And, man, how does anybody navigate that kind of stuff? I mean, it's hard enough to navigate those kinds of things when you can cling to Christ. How does anybody navigate that sort of grief outside of Christ? I don't know. One of the stories, again, I share many times with families, I think we learned so much from the story of Lazarus, and you can find it in John chapter 11, but Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were friends with Jesus. They weren't just, you know, like, you know, people he was acquainted with. These were personal friends, like hangout friends. And Jesus is in another town from where Lazarus is, and he hears that Lazarus is sick. He's with his disciples, and he hears that Lazarus is sick and that it's serious, and he delays. He delays for 4 days. And the disciples even begin to kind of question, like, this is his friend. Why is he not hurrying to his side to heal him? And Jesus said, it's so that God may be glorified, that I'm delaying. So, but Jesus knew all along what was going to happen. He knew that Lazarus was going to die, and he knew he was going to resurrect him, and he knew that everybody would be rejoicing. And he's on his way back for that to happen, for that awesome event to happen. And he meets up first with Mary, one of Lazarus' sisters. And here's what she said. She fell at his feet, Mary did, and she said, Lord, if you had been here. You ever had any if-onlys? You think some of these folks who have experienced a loved one with suicide, you think there's any if-onlys going on in any of those situations? Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now again, Jesus knows where he's going. He knows what he's preparing to do, and he knows that soon there will be a big party. When Jesus saw her weeping, it says, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? And he asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Don't you love that? Jesus, he knew, he saw the bigger picture. He knew that soon this weeping would turn to rejoicing, and yet in that moment, Mary was hurting. And Jesus wept with her. Don't you love having a Savior that weeps with us if we need to weep, if we need to grieve? A friend of mine years ago, he used to use this imagery when we pray for somebody. He would talk about for the Holy Spirit to wrap around them like a warm blanket. And I loved that imagery. Jesus wept. We can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus promised and because Jesus walks and grieves with us. He doesn't send us out and go, you know, this world's going to be hard, but, you know, someday you'll be in heaven with me. He's like, nah, just hang in there. It's going to be okay. No, he walks with us. He grieves with us. That's hope when life hurts. And then thirdly, we can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus is our hope. It's not a concept. It's a person. Hope is a person. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Now, few sentences here, I think I'm going to step on some toes because I'm stepping on some of my toes. Jesus is our hope, not our good works. How do we miss that? I mean, I've quoted this before, but there's surveys that I've read where in the upper 70% of church-going Christians, when asked how do you get to heaven, they say, be a good person. How in the world do we miss that? Yeah, works is important. Pursuing holiness is important. All those things are important, and we should be doing those things. But when we can't stake our eternity on those things. Jesus is our hope, not our good works, not religion. Hello. A few years ago, a lady that I knew asked me to go and speak with her mom, who was an elderly lady that was coming towards the end of life, and she was raised in a kind of a, best way I can say it, kind of a radical Christian home where they kind of, I'm over the top. I don't know if that, any of that's making sense, but over the top. And as I visited, and she said, my mom is coming to the end of life, and I'm just not sure about her and the Lord. Would you mind going and talking to her? So I went and visited with her, and we had this long, really nice conversation, and she just kept coming back. I was trying to present Jesus to her. She just kept going, well, you know, I used to be very religious, but I'm just not that religious. My mom and dad were religious, and she just kept saying that word religious. And I stopped her numerous times in our conversation, and I went, and it wasn't Miss Smith, but I'll just say, Miss Smith, I'm not here to talk to you about religion. I'm here to introduce you to Jesus. Do you know him? And I mean, right after that would come out, she's like, well, I used to be kind of religious, but I wanted, if I'd have had a mic, I'd have gone, is this thing on? Bless her heart, she just couldn't. She putting her hope in religion, and let me tell you, religion will disappoint you. Good works, we can't measure up. Hope is not found in a denomination. I know people, man, if they... Yeah, I won't even go there. Hope is not found in our 401k. Anybody getting insulted yet? Hope is not found in our good health, our friendships. And unlike me, it's not found in our good looks. Lee told me after the first service, he said, you got more jokes when you said talked about you having good looks than you did on the Hebrews joke. That was rude, Lee. Our hope is not in our popularity, who likes us, who doesn't like us, our success in life, that we and we find ourselves pursuing those things, all that stuff. We spend our whole life pursuing that stuff. Our hope is only found in Jesus. I promise you, I've never done a funeral where somebody's, you're coming by the casket and they go, you know, I think old Jim Bob is going to be pretty good because he was a good-looking man. Or man, his bank account is full. And I was saying in the early service, I just thought about this. You know, the pharaohs would build the pyramids and they'd put all their treasures in there to take it to the next life. Guess what? When you go into the pyramids, it's all still there. Their bones and all the gold. That's what you'll find. We can have hope in times of loss and grief because Jesus is our hope. Ephesians 2 says it this way. It is by grace, meaning that we don't deserve it. We're getting something we don't deserve. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And our community group talked about this some last week, but if somehow good works could attain us eternal life, who gets the glory for that? We would get the glory for that. God's going, it's not about you. It's a free gift, grace. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift. It's not you. Now, that doesn't mean that we should just be these slugs No, we're called to a pursuit of holiness. And we should be about good works. But when we begin to, it's so easy to think that that our eternity is wrapped up in that. So here's the rest of the Lazarus, the second sister, Martha. So he's met Martha, and she's weeping, and she says, "If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." Now listen to what Martha, the other sister, says. So he meets up with Martha, and she says this, "If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection. It's not an event. It's a person. It's me. I'm the resurrection and the life." And then he goes on to explain it. "If you believe in me, you will live, even though you die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then he asks a question to Martha that I think he asks of us as well. "Do you believe this?" he says. When he says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. If you die in me, you don't really die. You're really going to live." Martha, do you believe this? So I'm asking, church, do you really believe that? Jesus was asking Martha, "Do you really believe that I have the power over death? Do you really believe that I'm hope? When you have grief and loss in your life, do you really believe that?" So I'm going to ask a question that I've been asked before and how I answer that. And this is not to shame you if you've ever answered it the other way that I'm going to say, but I think we need to hear this. And the question is, if someone says, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And if our answer as Christians, as believers, if our answer is I hope so or I think so, that's not the answer. Because what is that saying? What does that answer say? It's saying if old Jeff can measure up, if old Jeff can just be good enough, maybe I'll squeak in. Our answer should be, yes, I'm going to be there. Look for me. I remember a conversation with a man several years ago in the hospital, and he had been in church all his life, but he was dying. He had cancer, and he knew it. And I could see it in his eyes. He was scared to death. And I asked him, "Are you afraid?" The room cleared out. It was just he and I. And I said, "Are you afraid? Are you afraid of dying?" And man, big old tears welled up his eyes. And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Do you want to not be afraid?" And he said, "Yes, I would like that." And I said, "Well, let me tell you, if I'm walking out in the parking lot to my truck and I get hit and killed in the parking lot on my way out, and I face my maker face to face," I said, "you know what I'm going to say to him, first thing I'm going to say to him?" And he's like, "What?" And I'm going to say, "Look in your book, your Lamb's Book of Life. My name's there. It's there. Because I know what you did for me." And I led him to the Lord. And he, after the weeks to follow after that, I'd go to visit him, and you could just tell he had a peace. I didn't think he was afraid anymore. "Do you believe this?" Jesus is saying. He's the resurrection of life. Do you believe it? It's by grace you've been saved through faith. Romans says it this way, "The Spirit," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's something, when we know what Jesus did for us, there's a peace that can come up upon us that we just know, that we know, that we know, beyond ourselves. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know what Jesus did for me on the cross. I've said it before, but you may not have heard it because it's been a while, but 2 months before my brother was killed, I had that conversation with him. It just happened. I think the Lord ordained that conversation, and he told me, which was unusual because he was big brother, and big brother never, he always knew more than little brother. Anybody other little brothers? But he told me in this conversation 2 months before his accident, he said, "Jeff, I want you to know I know what Jesus did for me." And I didn't understand the significance of that until later. But the Lord was telling me, and I think our family, Jay's with Jesus. He knew. He got it. "Do you believe this?" Jesus says. We're going to sing. I'm going to invite the praise team to come on back up. We're going to sing a great, great gospel hymn, "Because He Lives." And I'll just tell you, this time in our culture is a challenging, I don't think I have to tell you this, it's a challenging time. And I believe with all my heart, and this is a challenge to me daily, this is our church. This is our moment to shine. And not let the weight of the world just crush us. This is our moment to shine. We have hope. We have the message of hope to share with people that are struggling and hurting. And I'm just going to read, we're going to sing it here in just a moment, but I just want to read to you the chorus of this song. "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." Anybody ever get apprehensive about tomorrow these days? "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone." Is fear trickling in to anybody's house? "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives." Jesus is hope. And we have it. And He wants us to share it. If you would rise if you are able as we close. I want to just encourage you, don't leave this place today. If you don't have that answer to that question, yes, I'll be there. If you're not firmly rooted in that response, please don't leave this place without us visiting.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died.
Let us, church, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. You have a faithful one that walks with you, and because of him we have hope. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
Because he lives.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you and be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.